Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and with me today is Casey Stubbs. He is a 9.5-year United States Army veteran, and I want to start off by saying, first of all, Casey, thank you very much for your service to our country. It's the volunteer people like you that keep our country free and amazing, and so thank you for that. And he is also a married father of 9. Oh, he is an entrepreneur, a leader in his local church, and a successful business owner and trader. He is dedicated to helping people from all walks of life fulfill their financial dreams while also achieving financial freedom. Casey, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me, Rob. It's great to be here.
Definitely. So first, like a father of 9, what were you thinking?
Well, the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply, and so I went after it.
What? I know that it says that. I just didn't realize that it was a personal challenge to Casey Stubbs on that, but it's all good, man. So fantastic. Now, here's one of the cool things about this. Having this show, I have had on international experts, okay? I've mentioned this on previous episodes. I've had people from South Africa. I've had people from South America, from Europe, just all over the place. But my favorite thing to do is to highlight some of the amazing people that we have in the Pittsburgh and greater Southwest Pennsylvania area. Casey is one of those people. And Casey, tell me a little bit then about what is it that you're teaching people to do about achieving financial freedom? What's your work there?
So, I like to focus people on getting an extra stream of revenue. It's hard to work paycheck to paycheck. You know, you get a good job, but it's still tough to actually get that breakthrough, to get that financial freedom. So it's good to look at a different source of revenue. And the stock market's a really good way to do it. And with the stock market, you want to look at a long-term perspective and could just come up with a plan, you know. And I help people develop those and look long-term and develop a side revenue and another stream of revenue.
Okay. So you're talking about this, doing this with a long-term perspective, which I would assume is it day trading or it's something more than day trading?
It's both, to be honest. You can trade the market every single day. A lot of people do that. But if you're working in a job, you can trade occasionally, or you can invest by buying and selling a little bit here and there. For example, one of my students is young and doesn't have a lot of experience in the market. She's just getting out of high school. And it's actually my daughter. And she started her first year in the market. And she's just buying one stock a month. And her first year, she's depositing about $100 a month into her stock account. In her first year, she's in profit as of right now, $1,000.
That's fantastic.
So that's almost a 100% return on the first year. We've had a good year in the market. Not every year will be that good, but if you can consistently do that year after year, that will work out really well for you.
No doubt. Well, tell me then, what are your thoughts? I just saw an advertisement the other day for I don't know what they call them, but like stock shares or partial stocks, where you can invest in a company for like, you can buy $5 worth of a share in a said company. What are your thoughts on that?
So nowadays, the market's been exploding. And sometimes the stocks are really expensive. So if we look at certain stocks, I was actually like, if we look at Tesla or something, it just had a stock split, but it was $2,000 a share, right? And right. So for someone getting started, they can't afford that, right? But if the stock increases, if Tesla doubles and it goes from 2,000 to 4,000, they split, it's lower now, but I'm just using it as an example.
Sure.
They go from 2,000 to 4,000, that is a 100% return on your investment. But the people that don't have $2,000 can't get in. With partial shares, all that is you just invest what you have and then they break it down. And so if you have $100, you put $100 in on Tesla, they'll do the math. They'll calculate, oh, well, that's 0.37 shares of a stock, and they'll give you 0.37 of Tesla. And if it goes, if it doubles, if it goes from 2,000 to 4,000, well, and you only put $100 in, you still double your $100. So you're not focused on how many shares you can buy, but you're focused on your return on investment.
Right. So ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not that whatever happens to that stock as a percentage, right, you are getting that based on the amount of money that you have in there. And so your example is, you know, so just to follow through the example, if Tesla goes from 2,000 to 3,000, it's a 50% increase, and you're going from your $100 investment to having $150. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, if you have a bigger stock account, fractional shares don't really mean a lot. But if you're a small timer and you're just getting started out without a lot of money, then it can be helpful.
Cool. So as you're doing this, you're talking about people that, you have students that you're teaching how to do this, okay? And what are your thoughts as far as, is this something that people can do on their own? Is it something that, like, I guess, here's my analogy. Is this like climbing Mount Everest, where you need a Sherpa and you need a team to kind of guide you as you're going up? Or are there people that for whom they can just do this and make it work?
Well, if you're going to try to climb Mount Everest on your own, it could be a little dangerous. I'm the kind of guy that would actually try it. And so I've had a lot of crazy experiences. But yeah, I think that the markets are really a great opportunity. And I usually tell people, don't do it unless you're really wanting to commit, because it is quite a bit of a learning experience, because the markets can go south very quickly and you can lose your investment, right? So there's always a risk of loss. If you're good at it, but it takes a lot of experience and a lot of time and a lot of commitment. So I do say that you have to be committed to it. And a lot of people won't know how much of an effort it's going to take until they get their feet wet. And then they learn how difficult it can be.
Okay, so I want to transition from talking about the end product of what you're doing. You're helping people learn how to invest. And I want to move into kind of your business and how you run your business. Now, are you a solopreneur, or do you have a team that works with you? How is your business itself structured?
One of the best things that I've ever done in business is to invest my time in creating a team, because you can only do so much on your own. And I love the fact that you can do online and start your own business by yourself and make it work. And that's great, but you can only go so far on your own. When I first started in 2009, I was on my own, and it was great because I was making money. I was doing some really cool stuff, but I wanted to do more. I wanted to get bigger. I wanted to help more people. I wanted to go to the next level. And I couldn't do that until I invested in a team. So I have a team doing a lot of different functions behind the scenes in my business. I'm kind of the face of the business. People see me on the outside, but really I don't do a lot except for talk a lot.
Got it.
Well, the easy part.
Sure. But in some ways, what we're talking about in this day and age where there are virtual assistants, you're actually able to, in the same way that we were talking about buying partial stocks, you're able to have partial employees where you don't need to bring in somebody for 40 hours a week. You're able to contract for 10 hours a week or whatever it is, so that the team that you're building matches the financial capabilities of what you're able to afford at any given point in time.
Yeah, and I actually do both. I have full-time employees, and then I use those virtual assistants to do maybe some more specific type of work. So there's a couple really good websites out there that you can get this help from. One of the websites I use, it's called Upwork. And Upwork, you can get help for just about whatever you want. And I've had really good success, and I use a lot of people on there. Another great site for getting that kind of job done is Fiverr. Fiverr and Upwork are my two go-to places to get help when I'm not getting permanent employees.
All right, fantastic. And it makes a lot of sense. But again, what you're talking about is And to get to link this back to what you said that as your stock portfolio grows, eventually you're not going to need partial shares. You're going to be investing in full shares, but it's that incremental growth where you start small, and as it grows, then you're adding to it, and the whole thing is growing in not in incremental amounts, but in whole digits, if that makes any sense.
Rob, that is actually one of my core messages, and I call it the two C's. I call it consistency and compounding. So if you consistently do something, and this doesn't just work in the stock market, this works in, you know, how diligent you're going to be at your job, you know, or it works in what kind of a father you're going to be. It works in every area of your life. You consistently do the right thing over and over and over again, and then you slowly get better and better and better at it. You're going to have massive results.
It makes perfect sense. So one element of having a successful business is having a good team. And we've talked about that a little bit, but then you also have to have customers, clients, whatever. You have to have people buying from you. So what is your, when you're marketing your business, when you're trying to bring in clients or customers, what's your method to do that? How do you acquire clients?
Well, it's all online based. And so, which is, again, makes it really good. So when we did when coronavirus happened, and it didn't really impact my business much because I was already 100% online. So what I do is I create a page on a website. It's called a landing page that I send traffic to, and I will drive traffic and I'll say, get your free report. Do you want to learn about the stock market? Click here to get a free report. And then they give me their email. And then I send them the free report. And then after that, I start sending them email messages on a regular basis and explain to them different techniques about the market. And I give them opportunities to buy my products. So it all starts, the relationship begins by giving them something for free. And then we begin our relationship.
So, I mean, what you're talking about is creating a marketing funnel, really.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how it is. Yes.
So you're having a broad reaching net, and it just kind of narrows, brings people in until the people at the bottom of the funnel are the ones that are your paying clients, paying customers. Now, do you have any tips or secrets for folks out there that are like, yeah, this sounds great. I'd like to create a marketing funnel. I'm thinking about a landing page. The problem is that as you do it, it may not be that effective. Do you have any tips for increasing the effectiveness of that marketing funnel or of that landing page?
Yeah. So it's just like trading, right? You are consistently working on it, and you do it, and it's not going to work the first time. You just do it over and over and over again. And every time you do it, you make it a little bit better. So the thing that you have to do, it's all about testing, right? Because your first try is probably not going to work. So most people will try it and it doesn't work, and then they say, oh, too bad, and they go home. The secret is to try it on a small scale. Everything starts really small. You don't go out and put your whole life savings and buy a bunch of traffic for something that's not tested. You send a little bit of traffic, and you test it. Oh, that didn't work so good. I'm going to send a little bit more, change it, send a little bit more. And you just keep doing that until you find something that works. And so what I mean is changing it. You change some images. You change your wording. You change your message. And you just keep playing around with it until you eventually find something that's really good that people relate to. And then once you get it, then you can slowly increase.
All right. You said that you're sending traffic to it, and you mentioned, you know, paying for traffic. What are the ways in which you are getting the traffic to come in? Is it organic? Is it only paid? How do you get folks to come to your landing page?
So organic is the best way to get traffic, but it's also very challenging because everything online now is so competitive. When I first started out, it was a little more open, and now it's like really competitive. So organic just means that people will search how to trade, right? And then, you know, I have the How to Trade It podcast. If they search that and they get to your page, that's organic. It's free traffic. It's the best. Because why? Because it's free. But it's hard to get because there's so much competition. But there's Facebook, I use a lot of Facebook. I use Google Search and Google Display. Those are image ads and searches. If they search rather than getting organic, Google will artificially put your page on the top. And then there's YouTube ads, which is video ads. Those are primarily my primary ways for getting traffic.
Have you found any of those to be more cost effective than the others, or what is your, how do you see your return on investment for those different ways of paid advertising?
So the YouTube seems to work the best for us. And I have talked to different companies and different business owners, and they have different results. Some people love Facebook the most, but for our audience, it's YouTube. And I just think it's because they see me, they see my videos, they can connect with me a little bit. And so the YouTube has been the best for us.
Cool. And again, I'll just give you the disclaimer on this, that you're not telling everybody that YouTube is going to work for them, but in your business, you found this is what works for you.
Right. And it'll still even, you know, it's trial and error, a lot of videos, putting out a lot of videos.
Okay. And are you, do you have any tips for people that are, as they're starting this, because I know you can go broke buying YouTube ads and buying Facebook ads. And you already mentioned in some ways that you start small and you kind of, you do some testing to say, okay, does this work? What do I, if I tweak this, does it improve it? Or, and I guess that involves a high level of tracking and of conversion rates and so on. Is it really technical to do that? Or is there an easy way to kind of track how things are going and see what gives you results?
Yeah, Rob, I don't know if you have any experience with any of this stuff, but it's actually not really easy at all. It's actually really difficult. And so as I've grown and developed, I've hired a full-time ads person that handles all of that for me. And we pay on top of that for tracking software to track which ads are working. But we do test on a small scale, but we're tracking, and it is a challenge to get everything set up. So I'm not trying to make it seem like it's super easy, because it's not. And there's definitely obstacles and things that you have to overcome to be successful with this.
Okay, well, I have a little bit of experience with it, and I was hoping that you would say, no, I found the easy way to do it. And let me
that's
just
my commercial. Yeah. My commercial tells you how easy it is.
Yeah.
You're getting the inside scoop here today, though.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, fantastic. But like you're saying, this is not just something, though, that applies to trading. It applies to business at large. And just from your perspective, for other businesses that are out there, is it just like build it and they will come? Is it just pay for it? And are you, when you say invest a little bit, and when you say that you're doing the tracking, are we talking about investing $50, investing $500? Like, in your professional estimation, what would be a little bit as far as an investment?
Okay, so a little bit does mean a little bit. It means something different for everybody. So I'm glad you asked for a definition. I have a fairly large marketing budget it's large to me, but for other people, it's small, right? So it's just perspective. Some people are spending millions monthly, yearly. I spend about $50,000 a month on ads. And so I start with $10 ads. And I'll run several of them at the same time. So I'll start with three ads, $10 a day. So the great thing is they allow you to spend testing on small amounts. $10 a day with three ads, that's $30 a day. But you can see the results on which ads working the most. Then I'll narrow it down to two, and then I'll narrow it down even further, get the winner, and then I'll create more ads and just keep testing like that for a while. And then once I'm making a profit, then I slowly increase just a little bit day by day. I increase the budget.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, $30 a day in some areas, you know, it's still $900 a month.
Right.
Which to some people is a significant amount of money. But you've got to, in some ways, you've got to figure out what works for you and to move on from there. And then are you finding with your business, are you, do you have different levels of engagement? So that, or is there like, is there a product that you are selling, or do you understand my question?
Yes. Yes, I think I totally get it. Maybe my answer will prove that I don't, but I think I get it. So, not all customers are created equal, if you know what I mean. There are people like me that are like go all in type of people. And then there's people that are different where they're like, they test the waters. Right. And so, you want to focus on different kinds of people. And there's also there's always going to be somebody that's a big spender. And as a business owner, those could be my best customers. One example that one of my mentors taught me was, he uses shoes as an example. He says, whenever he does a conference, he'll ask people how many pairs of shoes they own. It's like, how many of you own 2 pairs of shoes? And everybody raises their hand. Well, how many of you own 10? And then it gets smaller and smaller. But then it gets to the point where he says, how many own 350 pairs of shoes? Then it'll be like three ladies, right? That have like 300 pairs of shoes. And he's like, those are the customers you're looking for, right? You want to find the customers that are going to buy 300 pairs of shoes, because those guys will support your business. The guys that buy 1 or 2 pair, well, they'll help, but it's the big, big ones. It's the big fish you want to land.
Yeah. So I think that you answered exactly what I was asking. And the question that kind of follows up on that is, let's just throw things out there that, if somebody is coming on at a level where you need, you know, you're making, let's say, $10 a month from them in order to sustain what you're doing with $900 a month of advertising, you have to have 90 people buy in on that just to break even. As opposed to if you can go out and you can get one person to pay you $1,000 a month, instead of having to get 90, you've covered your bases with one. Does that get kind of to what you're talking about?
And that's exactly right. You want to always, the people that want to test it or try small, you know, to buy a few low dollar things, you give them what they want. But then the people that really want to go all the way with you, you know, you create additional products like coaching programs or advanced software packages. That's why when in business, you always see the elite of everything. You know, you see there's the coach and then there's first class, right? That's that whole concept.
Okay. And then, so what we've touched on so far is you talked about having a business, building a team to make your business successful, ways to get, to acquire clients. And, but my understanding is that there's one more level to it, and it's the mental mindset of what you're doing and how that fits in becoming successful. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I think that in order to really be successful in business, it's so important to have a vision, right? What's the end result? Well, profit's the end result, but actually it's not the end result. The end result is, okay, I want to help 1,000 people have success in the markets, right? That's the vision. The vision is what really pushes you forward. And the vision is what helps you grow your team, right? Because when you have a vision and you get everybody on your team to say, look, we're on a mission to help 10,000 people be successful in the market this year. And so now we're all working for something bigger and we're helping our clients accomplish something bigger, and it helps drive me. It helps drive everybody, gives us something to look for. So I always say it starts out with a vision. And then the next point is, if you got these three things, I think you're unstoppable. So number one is a vision. Number two is faith, and you believe that you're going to be able to accomplish what you're set out to do. And then number three is action, right? You got to have a plan and you got to take action. Having a vision and faith is going to do nothing if you don't have action steps. So those three things will really carry you on. And, you know, I've come up against a lot of obstacles, and in what I'm sharing, all this stuff is really challenging, but it's just having that and pushing through, and eventually you'll get through your obstacles. So I just want to encourage people that are listening, you know, go for it, go after your dreams, make an action plan and go and take action. and push through the obstacles.
Sure. Well, let me just, I want to key on two words that you said, okay? The one is having a vision, but a vision with no action is actually a dream, okay?
Yeah.
But when, once you are able to form an action plan, then that vision becomes a goal. And the action steps that you take are what brings you towards reaching that goal. So it makes a lot of sense. And listen, hey, I want to say thank you so much for sharing today. I think that this has been very good. If people are looking to find you on the web or on social media, where can they find you?
So they can find me at caseystubbs.com. They can send me a message there, and all my social media and all my other websites are available there. So caseystubbs.com is a great place to go.
And I'll put a link in there. That's not a problem at all. I'm happy to do that so that people can connect with you. And, you know, I appreciate everybody who listens to this podcast. If you want to check out Casey's podcast as well, it's called How to Trade It. Is that correct?
Yep. I interview traders from all different areas, and we get all kinds of trading and market information. It's really good stuff.
I love it. I mean, that's awesome. So Casey, fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Listen, you have showed that you are indeed smart. I have learned from you, but now it is time to show that you are a person, and we've got three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
I don't know. It sounds crazy.
Okay. First one's pretty easy. Do you have a favorite holiday?
Oh man. You know, I would say the 4th of July is my favorite. As you mentioned, I'm a vet. So to me, what happened when we gained our independence was pretty important.
That's awesome. And so what is your classic 4th of July celebration?
Barbecue and fireworks. Nothing too special there, but it's fun.
You know what? I've got an interview coming up with a guy who runs the Cali barbecue place out in San Diego. So I'm with you. Just the opportunity to interview a barbecue chef was enough to make my mouth water.
That's pretty awesome. I love barbecue. Whenever I go to Texas to visit my brother, I tear it up.
All right. So you mentioned July 4th. In the summer, are you a person sleep with the air conditioning on or with the window open?
No air conditioning for me. I hate air conditioning. It's a big fight for me and my wife.
Awesome. And then, easy question as well. And that is, what is the one meal that will get Casey Stubbs to stop working early and head to the kitchen and say, I don't want to be late for this dinner. If someone's preparing that for you.
I really like chicken parmesan with creamed peas and potatoes.
There you go. Now, is that something that you're getting at home, or is that something that you're getting when you're going out?
Well, it's kind of a childhood favorite, I would say. My grandma used to always make that. So, I don't get it too often, but it was really special when my grandma made that for me.
No doubt. Chicken parm's on my list of favorite things. Although I would have to say, you said creamed peas?
Yeah, creamed peas and potatoes.
What are creamed peas?
I don't know the recipe. It's just potatoes with some kind of cream and peas in it. It's really good.
You know what? Listen, I'm going to take your word for it. Peas are not my thing. They're like a squishy ball of something inside of a little shell that when you bite them, it just gushes in your mouth. And I digress. Hey, Casey, thanks so much for being on. Folks, go check him out. Check out his podcast. Check out his website, caseystubbs.com. To all my listeners, thanks again for being here. I would encourage you follow us on social media. It is LFSP podcast, as in Learning from Smart People podcast. Check out our website on Apple Podcast. You can subscribe, leave a review, leave a comment. We really appreciate you. And I will remind everyone, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.